When life gets hard, what's my reaction? How do I respond? Many things in life are out of our control, but the one thing we always have mastery over is our own attitude and response to difficulty. And that's what we're talking about today on Love God First. Hello, listeners. Welcome back. This is Katrin Hagman, back with you again. This is the exciting next installment of our journey through Genesis. We're in chapter 3. We're talking about the consequences of the fall. And if you've been with me the last couple of episodes, you know we've talked about the serpent and how the devil and man will constantly be at odds fighting. And we've talked about the promised Messiah through the seed of the woman. And we've talked about Eve and her sorrow as she has children and the setup of Adam and Eve's roles in their relationship, which hopefully will help curb some of their sin nature that they're prone to now. We talked about all of that, but we have one more thing to discuss, and that is Adam. Adam and what the Lord says to him, the consequences of Adam. And so today what we're talking about is eventually everyone hits bumps in life, right? Either through our own choices or someone else's choices or just through the circumstances of life in a fallen world, we can hit hard times. So what's our default? What's our response when those things happen? In other words, how do I react when things get tough? And we're going to be looking at Adam's reaction today and watch how he deals with the beginning of some really hard times. Basically, from now on, his life is going to be tough. And how is he going to be dealing with that? Let's let it inform us of how we should react when hardship comes. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Once again, we come and we sit at your feet and we pray, Lord, teach us. Would you open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes to see what you want to teach us in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to read through Genesis 3, verses 17 to 20. Here we go. Then to Adam he said, meaning God, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Okay, so we're taking those four verses today, and we're talking about that response that Adam has at that end verse there. So what's happening? Let's step back for a moment. Remember, we're still in the Garden of Eden. This is happening in the cool of the morning. The Lord has just found Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes, ashamed from what they've done. And now he's pulled them out, had this conversation, and this is happening right now. In the cool of the morning, the birds are chirping, the river's flowing. There's beauty all around them, and this is what they're hearing. It's so contrary to their surroundings, and yet it's totally true. The Lord is announcing the consequences. He's saying, look, this is what you've invited in. So this consequence, cursed is the ground, that second curse that the Lord gave. Remember, he cursed the serpent and he cursed the ground. The ground itself was impacted by sin. And then it says, in toil you shall eat of it. Toil also can be translated sorrow. In sorrow he would eat of it. There's frustration and weariness. I don't know if you've ever gardened before, but it's hot, sweaty, back-breaking work. Even when you have tools and modern conveniences, and Adam didn't have any of that stuff. So there is this element of just the toil of it, the difficulty. And then at verse 19, when the Lord says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So the Lord's pointing him back to the fact that every day that Adam is working out in the fields now, he's going to be working the ground to get it to produce food in the sun, sweating, laboring. And every day he's going to have to confront the fact that the dust is where he's going back to at the end. That death is going to eventually come. Talk about a dismal reminder. It's almost as if Adam's working in his own grave for sustenance because he was made from dust, he's going back to it, and he has to work in it all the days of his life. Kind of depressing. So from now on, And we'll find later as we read on our next podcast, we're going to be talking about the next few verses of chapter 3, but eventually they'll be out of the Garden of Eden. And this is going to be Adam's life, this everyday working, working, working. Don't you wonder, what is he going to be thinking about while he's doing all that? He's not going to have a podcast or music or anything. He's just got the sound of the earth, the dirt. What is there? There's nothing. It's him and his thoughts, and he's going to be out there. And I just wonder if his mind would go back to the words that the Lord spoke. Don't you think if you were out there working, toiling, sweating, and then remembering the Garden of Eden, you'd probably think about it too. The regret, the sadness, the frustration with himself. Why didn't he say no to Eve? Why did he have to take a bite of that fruit? You know, coming up with that over and over, that the loathing that he may have for himself in those moments because he realized how stupid of a decision he made. You know, how would he respond then? Would he wallow in despair? Would he punish himself? I think verse 20 gives us a clue about that. Of course, we can't get in his head, but we do see his response to a pretty sobering pronouncement that the Lord is making. Let me read verse 20 again. It says, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was," what? "The mother of all the living." That's surprising. The Lord has just told Eve, if you recall, that she's going to have a lot of sorrow in childbirth, in conception, in raising children, because she knows that death will follow and that misery and problems are going to be a part of her children's lives for now and always, and a part of her own life too. She's going to bring forth children in that sorrow, and the death that has come in, the sin and the death have come in. And that is really depressing. And yet Adam names Eve the mother of all the living. What does that mean? That means that he must have been listening when the Lord pronounced that hope and mercy from verse 15, where, remember, he said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He," meaning the Messiah, "shall bruise you," the serpent, "on the head, and you," the serpent, "shall bruise him," the Messiah, "on the heel." Meaning, eventually, there will come a person from the seed of the woman who will have victory over the enemy, victory over the devil, and not succumb, and have a new story that is not sin and death. There's going to be life, there's hope, and Adam is really embracing that in this verse. He prophetically is speaking this over his wife. He's leading her now. I'm so proud of him. He's leading Eve in a good way. He's trusting the Lord to bring life into this whole situation through Eve, the one who messed it up to begin with. So the hard truth, it's going to be blood, sweat, and tears, effort and toil, confronted with sin, disease, and eventual death. That's basically what they're going into. But like I mentioned before, what would Adam's response be over time? In this moment, he pronounced this beautiful prophetic, "Eve is the mother of all the living. She's the one who's birthing life to all who come after her." That is so great that he says that. But what about over time? Are bitterness and hatred toward God going to come in to Adam's heart and mind? Or would he allow the hardship to press him closer to the Lord? Because this is hardship. He's going from paradise to hardship. And you know, we all have the choice to make when hardship comes, how we will react. It always comes, either through my own sin, someone else's sin, the devil, it might be just the regular circumstances of life in a fallen world. But what will I choose? You know, our nature is such that it's difficult for us to draw near to the Lord when things are really fantastic. I wish that going to Disneyland would draw me closer to the Lord. I wish that eating chocolate cake for dinner every night would just help me to be so close to Jesus. That would be awesome, right? But it's just not the way that it is. Is it? When hardship comes, it can drive us to God. And the Lord didn't bring this on Adam. Let me just underline that for a second. The Lord is not bringing this on Adam. Of course, this is the consequence of Adam's choice and Eve's. But the Lord can use it for Adam's good. Even this can be used for good. How? To drive him back to a closeness with the Lord and to keep him there. Remember Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause all things, but he causes all things to work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Those two conditions are there, to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And Adam fits into that. He loves the Lord. Yeah, he messed up, but he loves the Lord. He's called according to the Lord's purpose. So yeah, the Lord can use this for Adam's good. Don't we press into the Lord more intently when there's trouble? I mean, don't you? I do. I totally do. I remember this time in my life when, I think I mentioned this before, but I had back pain, pretty serious back pain for about 11 years. The Lord eventually healed me. I'm so grateful. But I had this back pain that was really bothering me. I was in the midst of it. I was getting discouraged. And I remember going to church one morning, just frustrated that I had this constant pain and constant agony. And I just poured myself into the worship. I mean, I leaned into the Lord, like, I'm going to worship you in the midst of this. And it was an amazing worship time. I just really met him there. He encouraged my heart. He comforted me at such a deep level. And my spirit just rose up and was strengthened deeply, deeply. And then I remember telling my husband about it afterward when we had left church and we were coming back home. And he said, really? Because he had this experience in the same worship service where I can't remember all of the details, but I think there was a baby crying in the background and maybe there was some wrong words on the screen for the lyrics and my eyes were closed, so I didn't even see that. But he had this totally different experience that was not good and it was total distraction and not a fun thing. Whereas I had met the Lord and with such power. Why? Because I needed him. I was so miserable. I was going to get to him no matter what. And he honored that. He honored that. So it just was a funny comparison because I remember him being like, really? Was that good for you? I was like, oh, yes. But that was not my husband's experience. Adam has a choice now for the rest of his long life to let the hardship drive him to God. Do we do that? The thing I find when I turn to God, though, in times of hardship is he's been there all along waiting for me and waiting for my undivided attention. There is something on my side that if I don't cultivate certain disciplines in my life during the good times, I'm not going to be able to hear his voice as easily or pray with faith as strongly or stand on his promises with conviction or worship myself strong. I'm not going to be able to do that in the hard times if I don't have disciplines that I have cultivated in my life beforehand. So where are you today? Is it a good season of your life where things are easy and fun? Yes, there's work, there's stress, there's regular frustration. You know, people cut you off on the freeway. You drop eggs on the parking lot as you're going out to your car. You know, regular things of life. But are circumstances going well? Or is it the trial of your life? Are you in hardship? Well, let's talk about some helpful tips for each of those scenarios, whichever one you're in. So let's say I'm in a good season. What is my focus? Well, now's a great time to build discipline, to learn to pray, to read and study the Bible, to memorize scripture. The Holy Spirit can use in moments of hardship or hard time, he can bring back to our memory things that we've read and memorized. What other disciplines? Learn to worship into his presence. That's really important. I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about worshiping into his presence, meaning I'm awakening my body, I'm awakening my mind, and I'm awakening my spirit, and I'm going into the presence of the Lord. That can happen at church. It can happen at home. Building a community of support, going to church, finding my people, not isolating myself. A few years ago, my family and I went camping with another family. So it was my husband and myself, my three kids, and then this husband and wife and their four kids. And we all went camping on a lake, and they had a boat. And we were just having a ball. And this one morning, a few of us decided to go out for a boat ride. My husband stayed back with a couple of the kids that wanted to ride their bikes, but I'd say maybe two or three kids. And then the husband and wife of this other family and myself, we all went on the boat. Well, we're out in the middle of the lake, just zipping right around. All of a sudden, we run out of gas. And we're, one or two miles from shore. You can see it, but it's far, far away. There's no other boat around. We're thinking, okay, what are we going to do? And so the husband gets a rope and ties it to the front of the boat and gets in the water and begins to pull us to shore and swim us to shore. And it's just amazing that he did that. He made it almost all the way, and then a boat finally came by, and then they pulled us in probably the last couple hundred feet. But for the most part, my friend pulled us in. The time to start working out for that was not when the boat ran out of gas. If he hadn't have been strong enough, if he hadn't have had the muscle to pull us in, we wouldn't have made it back in. So the time to learn how to press into God is not during hardship. It's the same thing. You can't wait until the crisis to start building in discipline. It does not work. You've got the crisis to deal with. Get the discipline first. So what if I'm in hardship? What if I'm going through something really tough? Okay, Adam is having a serious hardship. So we're talking trials of life level. Okay, what do I do? Well, my disciplines have been built. Let's say my disciplines have been built. So I'm going to keep that up. I'm going to settle into them. I'm going to spend more time praying, more time in the Word, more time worshiping, just because I need to. But here's something to note. It's not like I just have to generate on a hamster wheel more and more effort. I'm going to be drawing on God's strength and power as I wait on Him. And that's a big difference. I just want to make that clear. It's not, okay, now that I'm in hardship, do more of those things that I used to do. No, I've built that in as a foundation, but now I'm waiting on the Lord. Now I'm hearing His voice. I'm going to Him. I'm letting Him carry me. I'm receiving help from Him and from my community that hopefully I've already built. And guess what the reward is? Unbelievable closeness to God, like you didn't even know was possible. You know, as time went on with Adam outside of the Garden of Eden, living life, I wonder if his thoughts went back to the garden, to the times where he walked with God, to the very first Sabbath day when the Lord rested and Adam and Eve had just been created, and when they were walking around talking about the beauty and the animals that they saw. I wonder if over time he was able to turn his mind to those good moments with the Lord. And I bet that that sustained him if he did. I bet it really sustained him. We're talking about a person who walked with God literally. Adam knew him, and he could use those memories to sustain him in the hard times, just like we can too. We can use our memories, our moments that are precious with the Lord, to sustain us in those hard times too. Moments more precious than we can imagine await us in those hard times. So when they hit, let's be ready. Let's be prepared. Let's stay close to our Lord. So let's pray. God, we know we live in a broken world, that was not the original plan you had. But thank you that in the midst of the sin and the fallenness, that you come and meet us. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us in the best and most glorious of times, and you're with us in the hardship too. And so for those of us, Lord, in the good times right now, we thank you for them. And we say you are even greater. You're greater and more worthy of praise than the great times that we're having and the great things in our lives. And we praise you and honor you because you are higher even than those things, Lord. Would you teach us to build in these moments our relationship with you now, and to practice hearing your voice and coming into your presence and being strengthened and healed, so that when the hard times hit, we're ready? And Lord, for those in the hard times right now, we press in to your loving kindness. We fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. We don't look to the left or the right. Thank you that you're God who gives strength to the weary, that you say, "Do not fear, for I am with you, and I will surely uphold you with my righteous right hand," that nothing can separate us from your love, Lord, that we can live in that love. And we thank you that you're still on the throne, that you're mighty to save, that you are a God of wonders. And we stay close to you, and we commit to leave our hand in yours and let you lead us and direct our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe and give a high rating to this podcast so that more people will listen. And if you have any questions I haven't answered yet from Genesis, remember you can always email me at lovegodfirstpodcast@gmail.com.